T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And you would think they would have the money to do it, too, because a lot of these guys are making the league minimum right now. You're not paying Bobby Witt. You're not paying MJ Melendez. You're not paying Kyle
Isbell. This is your quarterback is cheap time.
This is exactly what this is. That's a great analogy. Yeah. I love that.
Your quarterback is under his rookie deal.
Right.
Get some other deals done while you can.
Exactly.
It does fall into that criteria because you have so many youngsters not making anything.
Right.
Salvi making a bunch.
Yep.
And this would be the time to strike.
Yeah, because your two first basemen aren't making money. MJ Melendez isn't making it. Well, Hunter Dozier's got a small stipend that he's taking in.
Relatively
cheap. Yes. It's not a lot. It's like $6 or $8 million a year. It's not a huge stipend. Michael A. Taylor's not a huge stipend on your roster right now. The Zach Greinke money is going to be removed after this season, that $13 million. I guess you still have money that you have to pay Mondi for whatever reason. But you have to go out and find a way to now supplement. You're absolutely right, Josh. This is your young quarterback is cheap right now. Let's add to this thing and let's strike while the iron is hot. This is the perfect time for the Royals to go out there and add, where they really don't have a lot of big money contracts on their roster.
Dozier next year, 7.2.
Yeah. It's not a lot for
Michael
Major League
Taylor,
Baseball.
4.5.
Nothing for Major
and
League Salvi,
20.
Yeah. That's nothing.
Salvi's the big one, but, it's fine. I'm good.
He's earned his money.
I'm getting him.
Yeah.
So I'm Salvi for life now. So mm-hmm. I'm absolutely staying put in that one. They have a bunch of guys that are, arbitration eligible and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But Brad Keller made not quite 5 this year.
Probably get bumped up to 7 or 8 next year via arbitration, right?
Who else has got? Nicky Lopez is making 2.5.
That's nothing.
Barlow, 2.4.
Yeah, not a lot of money. We're not talking about a lot of money. There's not a lot of dead
inherited
money.
Inherited Luke Weaver, 2.8.
Ooh.
Luke Weaver, the guy from Arizona.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Dream, yeah.
Dream Weaver,
yeah. That's right, yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot.
There's not a lot of money there.
Not
see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you have the ability to go out and spend. Now's the time. Go out and do it. Go out and do it. If your ownership, go out and spend that money on those two pieces that are required. Think of the excitement that'll be caused here in Kansas City if they go out and spend and get you a frontline pitcher. Jameson Taillon pitched well last night. He's available. Sean Manaea is available at the end of the season as a free agent. Maybe you go out and sign him because you're familiar with him. Nice piece for your rotation. They have to go out and make an impact move this offseason if they expect to be contenders, because the young kids are here. The organization, Josh, as a front office, has done their job. They have graduated everybody now up to this big league level. The onus is on ownership to say, yeah, here's the check. Go supplement these guys. We're ready to roll.
Mondi was $3 million this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That one's rough. That one, I'm not going to argue. That one.
It's not a lot of money from a baseball standpoint, but for a guy who does nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's $3 million of just you.
I think he's got another arbitration. I don't think he's going up, but players always do. So,
oh, arbitration he's got. Yeah, he will get a raise. Yeah. But if I'm the Royals, I go in there and say, we'll pay him zero. Yeah. He's made $6 million the last 2 years doing nothing.
Heavy incentive plan.
Yeah.
Once again, an example of the offseason being at times better than the regular season.
I don't know that it's at times. I think it's always.
I mean, but if you like the sport, you like the sport.
True,
you know what I mean?
True, yeah.
But this Kevin Durant story is getting great. What a bleep show.
Yeah, it really is.
Going on in Brooklyn. That's from Shams. Is it Sharinia? I never know how to pronounce his name. From The Athletic. NBA writer. Longtime NBA writer. Sources. Kevin Durant informed the Nets he does not have faith in their direction.
He didn't just inform them. Yeah. He flew to London to meet with the owner.
They had a meeting with the owner, Joe Tsai.
Right. I give to Kevin Durant credit for actually going face-to-face and not just going to his burner account on this one.
That's true. Reiterated his trade request and informed them that they needed to choose between Durant or the pairing of general manager Sean Marks and coach Steve Nash, according to sources.
Yeah, see you later, Kevin Durant.
So the meeting was described as transparent and professional with a clear message. Keep me or the GM and coach. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I would keep the GM and coach in this situation. Ooh. Kevin Durant fancies himself somebody who's been a winner in the NBA. Other than riding the coattails of Steph and Clay out in Golden State, what has Kevin Durant won and what has Kevin Durant led?
I led Oklahoma City for a while.
I mean, you had James Harden down there and that guy who dressed like a peacock, right? Didn't he play down there? The Birdman?
We had Westbrook for a while.
Westbrook, had him, yeah.
I mean,
when he wasn't as bad.
I think he probably led in Oklahoma City. He was a different kind of lead dog at Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn's been a disaster. There's no way, shape, or form about this. Every move they made has not worked.
Right.
And they've been bad. And then they apparently can't get the return that they're looking for Durant.
Well, that should tell you something, though.
Right?
That should tell you something right there.
Well, maybe teams are believing they're a mess and they're desperate and they got to get rid of him.
Yeah,
you know?
But I mean,
they're not getting what they want to get back from Durant. And so they're not making the move on Kevin Durant.
Right.
You can't acquiesce, though, can you? The NBA feels like that's almost the one you can, because the player is. There's so few of them on the floor and playing at a time that maybe you can't acquiesce and say the player's more important than the coach or GM. But boy, there are very few instances of that being the case.
Well, I don't know who that player would be, quite honestly, Josh, because every time they leave it up to the player to have these quote unquote decisions, they don't go well. How has LeBron worked out as general manager out in LA? Other than winning a COVID, tented bubble championship, they've been a disaster out in Los Angeles. Michael Jordan was never good after he left and went away with his head coach, Phil Jackson. He never really achieved success without him. And so I think players at times in all sports believe that they're bigger than the organization and bigger than the game. And when you start thinking that way, you're thinking wrong. And if Kevin Durant thinks he's bigger than the Nets organization, I'll just say this. I'll say, fine, you may think you're bigger than the organization, and we're going to trade you, and we're going to move on from you. Because I would think a collective group of guys that want to be there, play with each other, that likes each other, and is working well together is a lot better than having this Kevin Durant in there trying to play general manager. And if I'm Joe Tsai, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, I would say, Kevin, we appreciate your time. We're going to make this call, and we're going to go ahead and trade you. I just don't think any individual player is bigger than an organization. And when you try to become bigger than an organization as a player, that's ultimately when you fail. I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Durant never won another title again in the NBA.
Or maybe he doesn't play. Maybe they just hold on. They hold firm.
They don't move him.
Because what are the odds he just goes out there and balls this year?
Right.
For them.
Not good.
If they keep the coach and GM.
Yeah. I mean, they got a player now in Ben Simmons.
Maybe he just doesn't even play, you know?
He could, but
I'd probably call that bluff, too.
I mean, you got Ben Simmons now, who was in a group chat. They asked him if he was going to play in the playoffs. He exited the group chat. I mean, this is what we're dealing with right now in Brooklyn. That's been an absolute mess. And I think every sports fan can kind of acknowledge and say, man, I'm glad this isn't happening to my team. I mean, could you imagine if this was happening to your team and you have these quote unquote star players that are trying to be bigger than the organization? I'd tell them to take a hike. I would. I'd move on without them and
now,
say, obviously, there's nothing we can do to keep you happy.
If you're a fan, though, because we're looking at from the outside and what would make the smartest move.
Absolutely.
If you're a fan, though, you go, I don't pay to see Steve Nash and what is his name? Marks, the GM.
Yeah.
I pay to see Kevin Durant.
But what does Kevin Durant want in Brooklyn?
And Kevin Durant needs to play for my team.
Yeah.
Let's find him a better coach that will accentuate his skills. I think if you're a fan or you're directly a fan of that team, I think you have a different perspective.
But in the NBA, do you really need a coach to accentuate your skills? I mean,
or stay out of the way, whatever. However you want to do, manage egos, whatever.
Yeah. But what does Kevin Durant want in a head coach?
Steve Nash was a first-time head coach.
Yeah,
no experience
right
when they hired him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably seen as like, yeah, this isn't going to work. Like, we need somebody who's who's got a, you know.
But if you're so the owner, do you look at Kevin Durant and go, who do you want as the head basketball? And that's why I'm not hiring, yeah. Because when the Chiefs wanted Romeo Crennel, they hired him. Yeah, how did that go?
Players,
not good.
Yeah, the players hire the coach. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea. Everybody does that. But, you know, he might have a point. Maybe the coach and GM are terrible. I mean, the GM's the one that's been putting this thing together.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly working in Brooklyn.
But I mean, when you assemble
the collection of egos they have tried to mesh together, and that has not worked.
Isn't that on the player though? I mean, like, why would you have an ego and let ego get in the way? When
might
got
be,
James Harden,
the GM
and
selects,
Kevin Durant,
but the GM picks them. You know what I mean? Like, they're putting these pieces together. Probably has some culpability there. Maybe the coach doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
And if I'm a fan, I want to see him play for my team. So I think if you're in there and a fan, it's a different perspective. I think you're right. Ultimately, though, if they're picking, that's trouble. Like if Patrick Mahomes, we love him, Patrick Mahomes is picking the next coach and GM, that's a problem.
That's a major problem.
I'm not allowing Patrick Mahomes
to pick the next head coach and general manager.
No. You're not leaving that up to him.
No. That's not a good thing.
I can see as a fan, you go, but I want Durant on my team. I don't care who the coach is.
But what has Durant done? It's been a disaster since he's gotten to Brooklyn. A mess.
Patrick Mahomes, meanwhile, one-ups Josh Allen yet again. Next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, preferred 2-1 over other competing dentists. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
One of the things I'm most excited to see Patrick Mahomes continue to improve on, because I think he's got a little bit of it in him, and you see it every once in a while, but I think he can build on it and build on it and build on it, is his troll game. Mm-hmm. I think his troll game's got a chance, specifically when it comes to Josh Allen. Like Tom Brady's not only the GOAT, but now he's become the GOAT. Like
yeah.
The troll GOAT. He's really good at
it. Yeah, he's
right?
good. No, he's really good at
and,
it.
And Patrick Mahomes is a little more subtle, but sometimes pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter King is out at Chiefs training camp yesterday.
Right? Yep. Clear the part the C's, you know, roll out the red carpet.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Get a 42-ounce steak, fine wines. Peter King's in town. Let's do this
Love to see Peter King, okay? So Peter King's in town, and you remember a couple weeks ago, he did the interview with Josh Allen that we were laughing about, that Josh Allen went in for the handshake and, And Peter King had turned after doing their interview and turned towards the camera, and Josh Allen just kept his hand there.
There's nothing worse than giving the hand for a shake and the other person like just ghosting you.
But I thought Allen handled it great. He didn't go, oh, like I mistakenly, oh, he didn't see
it. He was fun with it.
He left the hand there. Yeah.
What do you normally do in that situation? Do you pull the hand back?
Yeah,
do you act
usually.
Like you didn't put it out there?
Yeah.
Now, especially in this day and age, what with COVID and all, do you like go for the fist bump? Nobody's elbow bumping anymore.
No, I don't think so. It's usually like a fist bump, but
yeah, you do a fist bump, but we were doing that before COVID at times. You blow it up, boom, you know, that kind of thing.
But I fist bumped a lot less before. It was more of a handshake. I was a handshake.
Yeah, I was too. I said I was never going to handshake again. I'm shaking hands now.
Yeah,
here
yeah.
I go.
Andy Reid just the other day. That was the last handshake I remember.
Yeah.
Was Andy Reid. So Mahomes gets the Peter King interview.
And then I de-louse with hand sanitizer every time I shake somebody's hand.
And Mahomes makes sure he nails the handshake with Peter King.
Patrick Mahomes, good luck this year.
I appreciate it. Hey, nice handshake you have there. Nice.
In St. Joseph, Missouri, with Patrick Mahomes, I'm Peter King.
I'll give one more of those, man. Just one more handshake from you.
You had a real nice handshake there.
Yeah. Very nice. I would hope. There's nothing worse than the dead fish handshake.
I thought that was good.
It was, but also great timing, as always, by the Chiefs with the in the background, so you really couldn't hear exactly what was being said there. Usually the carts coming down, or there's some noise in the background of the sled being hit. It had all that. It had all the ambient noise of training camp back there. But that was definitely a Josh Allen troll, which I like the way that this is morphing into a fun relationship, though, between those two guys, right? It really is Peyton Manning and Tom Brady when it comes to that type of relationship. It's not a hatred relationship like I think it would be if Josh Allen was playing for the Chargers or somebody like that. I think it's a very much respect relationship. They like each other and they can have fun with each other too. And I think stuff like that kind of adds to the game and adds to the rivalry, which I believe, in my opinion, Buffalo and Cincinnati now are bigger rivals than anybody in the AFC West, just because those are the two teams at the top of the AFC along with the Chiefs. And when you can have that camaraderie with the quarterbacks, because they're going to be around Josh. I mean, Josh Allen isn't going anywhere. Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. We're looking at the next decade plus of those two guys hopefully battling at least one time a year, either in the postseason or the regular season. And to have that kind of camaraderie and that off-the-field kind of ribbing of each other, I love it. I think it makes the game better.
So he got a firm couple handshakes from Peter King before he left camp.
He
so that was real good. Also, Mahomes with the NFL Network yesterday was particularly excited about one Mecole Hardman.
We've had a good camp. I mean, Juju's done a great job, made a lot of big plays. Marquez has made a lot of big plays, and I think Mecole has. I think he's taken that step of kind of feeling that it's kind of he's going to have to take over a lot of that spot that Tyree did of those deep routes, and he's kind of accepted that challenge. And everybody kind of developing and kind of doing that different type of stuff, but he's going to be a big part of it, and I'm excited for him.
Kind of like that. Maybe it's your quarterback making sure he pushes that guy out kind of front and center.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's his job.
But
a
also,
little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Like take the heat a little bit, but also putting the challenge out there to hey, Mecole Hardman's having a good camp.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he's made some spectacular catches and made some nice plays, and the reviews about him have been very, very good. And I think a lot of it had to do with him going down to Pack Camp and being part of the offseason program this year, but also having the opportunity now and the realization that he does have an opportunity, because every other camp that Mecole Hardman has gone into as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, there's been either Tyreek Hill, there's been Sammy Watkins, there's been Travis Kelce. He's never really had that true opportunity to be the number one guy, or at least the number two guy at that wide receiver position. He's got that great opportunity right now to be that guy. And while the depth chart doesn't show him as the number one or number two starting wide receiver behind MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster, he's going to be a guy that's going to see, in my opinion, receive a lot of targets. And if there's one guy on this team that has the opportunity to have a year to get paid, Mecole Hardman is that guy. This is a glorious opportunity for him to go out there and either get paid by the Chiefs or get paid by somebody else. Patrick Mahomes can make you a millionaire overnight. Ask Albert Wilson. Ask Tyreek Hill. This guy's special at making people money. I think that guy this year is going to be Mecole Hardman. I think he's going to have a great year.
You mentioned the Pat camp paying off. Mahomes discussed that with NFL Network as well.
Yeah, so what we would do is we'd wake up in the morning, we'd work out. All work out together, and then we'd go throw routes after.
Yeah.
Right when routes would end around 11:15, we would kind of all shoot back to their hotels, their Airbnbs, or I'd shoot back to my house, and we'd do Zoom calls right there.
With
all the coaches. And so that all the coaches, we'd be in the same meeting rooms, and I think what the coaches would do is even though we were in that phase one, they would kind of give me the routes that we'd be working on that day. I would explain them how I would like them ran, and then the coaches would come in and show you the full concept of how it was ran. And I think it got these receivers to know, like, this is how the routes ran, but let's see the full concept of everything and see how it fits in the playbook. And I think it was a great way for those guys to learn the offense from me and then from the coaches as well.
Is that something?
I wonder if they'll do that every year or not, or if it's just perfect for
well, a lot this, of new wide receivers
for the new faces. Because yeah. Boy, it seems like that was a system that worked.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do that every year? Let's see what the results are in the regular season, right? I mean, I think everything is like, all right, we'll let you do this. Let's see what the results are. Let's see what happens in February when we're hoisting Lombardi. If we're hoisting Lombardi and we have the same type of success or even more success, and maybe the offensive numbers are better this year than they've ever been before, then yeah, we're going to continue to do this. If they go out, which they won't, and fall on their face and don't produce on offense this year, then we're not having Pack camp next year. No more is Pack going to be the teacher. Everybody's
we gotta get you. We gotta get you here
school.
And get it right.
Yeah.
I'll see how many bad routes are run
right.
First. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
if there's any mistakes on routes, and yeah, Pat Camp's
done,
then.
And Pat Camp. No, they will because it was something different that they didn't do before. You know, we gave you. It's like with your kid. We gave you this opportunity to prove that you could handle this. Obviously, you can't. So now you got to come home.
The first depth chart is out. We'll see if it matches the one from 610 Sports Chiefs insider Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. He'll join us next.
Fesco in the morning. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Bob didn't turn on his mic, but he was singing along.
No, I'm actually perplexed at something that I just saw come across my computer, Josh.
Could you play the game a little bit, Bob? That's all I'm asking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all I'm asking.
I'm sorry. I was caught up in this odds thing that just came across.
Yes, Bob, what were you caught up in when I was doing Theater of the Mind?
They've got which state the Super Bowl winner will come from, and Missouri isn't even listed.
Did they have Kansas? I don't want to know. Did they have Kansas?
No.
Okay. That makes me feel better.
No.
Who's doing this? Like Twitter votes or something like that?
One of those emails we get, sportsbetting.ag or whatever, you know, we get from time to time. We get in our email, and it said Super Bowl winning state, any other state plus 135. And then they broke it out to other states. California, I guess technically Missouri does have the best odds, though, because it's plus 135. Every other state is plus 350 or worse. California, New York, New Jersey tied at 500. Florida, Ohio, Maryland,
York,
Texas, and Pennsylvania. Well, you got Buffalo, and you've got the
Buffalo,
Giants.
Yes,
and Jets.
I'm sorry. Buffalo.
Yeah.
I forgot.
People forget they're in New York because it's basically the Midwest out there. But the Super Bowl winning division, AFC West, has the best odds to win the Super Bowl coming out of it. But I'm looking at that. I'm going, Super Bowl winning state, where the hell is Missouri on the list?
They're at the top. You didn't see them?
It's just any other state. I guess Missouri changed to any other state.
This is the aside from Mahomes question.
Who's
the quarterback you take aside from Mahomes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, New York is up there plus 500. Ohio's up there plus 800. California's up there plus 350. So I guess technically Missouri is plus 135. But I would imagine with the Chiefs, you would have Missouri listed separately. I don't know. But there's only one team there, so... Ohio has 1.5 teams. You know, New York
does feel
has
weird to say what state.
Team.
And like, I have to think which team plays in what state.
Yeah.
I got to go back to that basic geography course.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, our 610 Sports Radio Chiefs insider, has been covering camp diligently throughout the entire run. The first preseason game upon us, Pete, and that means the first depth chart of the season is out. Any surprises in your mind when you rolled through that thing?
Well, not particularly. I think it just highlighted some of the things we were already thinking about, and that is at right tackle, you're looking at a starter of Andrew Wiley right now, which, I mean, we thought coming into camp, and he's held on to it for the most part. We're wondering if maybe a Jaron Christian could take that position. We're wondering if a Darren Kennard could take that position. We expected Trent McDuffie to be a starter, even though he's a rookie. When you trade up in the first round, that's going to be assumed. I think The fact that Isaiah Pacheco is in print as the kick returner is another interesting part of this. So there's little wrinkles, but I tend to feel like we expected most of what we saw from, again, that unofficial depth chart.
You know, one thing besides Turkey that jumped out to me on this depth chart, Pete, is the what I consider, and maybe you don't, and I could be wrong on this, and hopefully I am, it just seems like there's a lack of who the hell are these people at cornerback behind the two starters. I mean, it almost is to the point of, like, Fenton needs to get back soon because I don't know anybody else.
Yeah, Rashad Fenton is the main injury, I think, right now for this team. And I know that Jody Fortson has missed a week of practices, but I'd mentioned to a friend yesterday, I think they're just being cautious with Jody Fortson. This isn't a thing where he is completely off his feet. You see him watching practice. He's kind of jogging around. So I just think they're being more safe than sorry. And even if you know, these guys were the same way and as far as injured, you know, I would still feel like Fenton was more important. And Fenton has not practiced at all this training camp. He remains in the physically unable to perform list, which is never a great sign. When Andy Reid is asked about it, the simple answer we're getting right now is progress, because I'm not sure he wants to promise anything. And if it doesn't happen, then people start to think, oh, he had a setback and whatnot. So we're waiting patiently. I think for both of these guys, if you're curious, Rashad Fenton and Jody Fortson, I don't even think there's a chance they play Saturday, but maybe you get back to practice in St. Joe on that Monday, and maybe that's when we first see these guys.
I mean, you look at the position of where they drafted. Five defensive backs were drafted this year. It was the only position that had multiple players taken in the draft. Are they confident in a lot of these young guys that they have on that depth chart, with, you know, Jalen Watson getting up there on the depth chart, Joshua Williams? Are they comfortable with those guys right now?
I think it's to a point where if Fenton isn't ready, they're going to have to be. And it's not something that Steve Spagnuolo likes. I mean, I know you guys remember this well, because I remember you talking about it. And every morning, every Monday, when the Chiefs were struggling last year at the beginning of the season, it was, what the hell is Daniel Sorensen still doing in the lineup? And Spags just tends to favor these veteran players, especially when, you know, he thinks, okay, I feel like I'm getting through to a certain guy. But he's going to have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable this year, especially if Fenton is still hurt to start the season in playing a lot of these younger guys. And I'll tell you, you know, if it makes you feel better, and this it's a tough move to make someone feel better, because it's a player losing his job. But the fact that they moved on from DeAndre Baker tells me at least they feel like they have enough in camp where they're going to be okay for at least until Fenton gets back. Again, hopefully, and there's optimism there that it will be before camp breaks. But, I mean, it's getting late early, as they say, at camp. So we haven't seen Fenton yet. But, yes, I completely agree. I mean, I think him back in the mix kind of would equate to the Chiefs mid-camp signing Carlos Dunlap. Because I feel like everybody's feeling like you need one more player there to feel good about the position, and Fenton being back in the mix would certainly do that.
Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. You mentioned Carlos Dunlap. We haven't seen a lot of him yet necessarily, but I'm with you. I kind of felt I did a, okay, feel a lot better about where the defensive line was. You've watched them every day in camp. How... They got to be right. How potent can this defensive line be? They're going to need him.
I think it was so necessary to get him in the mix. They had a gaping hole there at defensive end, and particularly defensive ends that have done anything in the league before. I think you bring Dunlap in, and he's had at least six sacks each year since 2011. Usually it's around eight or nine. And it's just a team that in recent years hasn't been able to get to the quarterback for one reason or another. All this guy does is get to the quarterback. And so right now he's getting acclimated. I do wonder if he does play Saturday. If he plays, I'm sure it'll be just a handful of snaps. The Chiefs are still ramping him up and getting him used to the playbook, all those cliches that you guys play with that sweet British lady. But I tend to think as preseason goes along, we'll see more of Dunlap in games two and three.
Speaking of cliches, is 1% better becoming as like grading on you as it is for me? That's become like the go-to cliche in sports over the last couple of years. And I'm beginning to hate it. And somebody needs to be like, how do you know you're 1% better? Like, where did that
how
one
do you
come
quantify
from?
It?
Yeah.
I think the one that gets on me, and this is also my writer's brain talking about it as far as like clicks, is when you ask a player what their goals are for the year, and nobody wants to like, everyone has goals. I mean, they're professional athletes. I'm sure Chris Jones wants to get like 12 sacks, but the answer has been, I just want the team to win. I just wanted, want the Super Bowl. And it's like, man, tell us what you're thinking about for yourself this year. It's okay to do that as well. Mm-hmm. And we don't get that.
Where did 1% better come from? It? Because these guys are becoming more and more robotic in sports.
Defensive coach. I'm telling you, it's a defensive coordinator somewhere.
So can you ask that today, Pete? Like, where did 1% better come from? Who invented this one that everybody is going to now?
At least during my time on the beat, and I'm going to say a curse word here, but Bob Sutton used to say, you're either getting 1% better or 1% worse every day. There's no staying the same. I don't know if that's stayed in the room since then, and it's just evolved into 1% better every day. But another one that we hear a lot from the defense is doing their 111, which is, you know, it's all about the team again. So there's a couple of them that are built in there.
Worst tweet from a team run account. The picture of the team that says we got 1% better today, or the team getting on a plane with the business trip caption on it?
Oh, business trip is tough. Office for the day for
that's
some of my media
one.
Colleagues yep. that have done that.
That's a good one.
Is tough. I think there was a Los Angeles Chargers tweet about going to P.F. Chang's, and it still exists because it used to belong to, I think, one of the media managers when Twitter was first getting going. So I think that remains the champ right now as far as team rank.
Wait, P.F. Chang's? What? I need more in depth on this one. Did they go there for a team meal?
I'm not remembering the whole story, but as it turned out, obviously every Twitter account, even the teams, are run by people.
Right.
And in the early days of Twitter, they opted to turn the media manager's Twitter to the official Chargers account. So you can go back in time. If you Google this, Chargers P.F. Chang's, you'll see it. But there's a Chargers tweet that says, "I want P.F. Chang's tonight."
Whoops. Forgot to switch it back to his own profile at that point in time. His or her profile.
P.F. Chang's is very good. I've got a friend who comes into town, and that's the only place he'll eat. It's like, oh, I love P.F. Chang's. I'm like, it's good, but I don't need to eat there six nights a week.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think there's better Chinese out here in Kansas City. So, I'm a Bowling's man, and you know there's Kinlan over here too. So there's a couple options.
So. Oh yeah, here it is. So hungry, need to find my wife at the P.F. Chang's from February of 2007.
Oops, got to switch that profile back. Pete, the wide receiver position is still going to be very compelling, I think, during the preseason. I know Josh Gordon spoke yesterday. He on the outside of this thing.
Yeah, and I think he knows it. That was a tough presser. I felt like, he sort of sees the writing on the wall right now when it comes to the outside looking in. And I think coming into camp, there was a lot of optimism that, you know, Josh Gordon with a year with the team would finally start to become the Josh Gordon of old. He missed a lot of years from suspensions that really feel very silly at this stage of the game. And I think it might have cost him pretty much the prime of his career. And, you know, I think he's probably on the outside of that. And you're wondering, you know, do the Chiefs even keep six wide receivers? Because I've said I think they like Justin Watson for his limited offensive role and what he does in special teams. And Josh Gordon doesn't play a ton of special teams. He might be helped by the fact that Fountain has been on again, off again with the injury list. But if I'm guessing right now, I'd say the Chiefs keep the upside of the special teams with Fountain over Gordon. Because Gordon's going to make the team. He's got to stand out offensively, and he simply hasn't done that in now, what, 2 or 3 weeks at training camp.
Yeah, it seems like he's one of those guys that, you know, they signed last year, and everybody's like, oh, he's going to come in and be a difference maker. And I'm like, well, he's never really done anything in the NFL, and he's been out for 6 years. Like, so there's not much you could expect really out of him coming in last year and really coming in the training camp. Like, I never thought he was going to be a productive, you know, wide receiver. I'd rather go with a young guy who can get out there and play.
Yeah, and the Chiefs have some options there, and I do believe there'll be one or two wide receivers even on the practice squad that don't end up making the club. If you have an injury, you know, they'd be okay. Like Corey Coleman at times has been an interesting player at camp. I don't necessarily know if he's going to make the team, but I thought he was interesting. Jerry Neely's been another guy that's sort of been in that mix that you just wonder if they'll be on the practice squad if something were to happen. Cordell Powell has actually looked pretty good.
Good.
Again, A very deep receiver room, and I think that's part of the problem for Josh Gordon. I just don't think there's a position for him, and maybe it's with somebody else, but I do not think at this stage it'll be in Kansas City.
Is he the type of guy that the Chiefs can foist on somebody and get a defensive back in return like they did with that, like, 10th best offensive lineman a few years ago?
I think that player for me right now is Ronald Jones. If I'm guessing, flipping someone at the last minute for, you know, a defensive back, I think with the number game, I'm playing, and I just think they have too many talented wide receivers and tight ends. So I think you're already looking at 10 players there, and I just don't know how you keep four running backs and a fullback at this point. And it seems like they're favoring Jerick McKinnon. They really like the rookie Isaiah Pacheco. Clyde's the no-doubt starter. And I think Ronald Jones can help the team. So maybe you get a tackle out of it, another option to tackle if you don't like what's in the building. Maybe you do get another player as far as a defensive back or someone like that if Fenton isn't ready that you feel a little bit more comfortable with. We'll see. It might even just be a pick. But I do think there is a trade in the cards on this team. It's just a matter of who's going to be flipped for that late day three pick.
I like that Ronald Jones one. That's a sneaky good one because of Isaiah Pacheco. When Josh and I were up there last week, I was like, this guy's really, really good. And, you know, it was interesting to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Ronald Jones, and Pacheco lined up together on the sidelines. It went from, like, you know, little guy in Clyde Edwards-Helaire to, like, bigger guy.
Small, medium, large.
Yeah, yeah, and then yeah. You look at Isaiah Pacheco, and you're like, oh, my God, where did that guy's legs come from? Like, from the waist down, that guy's built as big as anybody I've ever seen at the running back position.
Yeah, the team loves him, and they have a lot of high hopes. And even though he's drafted in the seventh round, I think they feel like he could be a every down contributor at some point in his career. I don't know if that'll necessarily be at this point. I think it's still Clyde's number one job, but the fact that they already named him the kick returner and are comfortable enough and need to see what he's going to do in the preseason just, again, adds volume to the fact that he is certainly on this roster. And I think the only other real lock in the running back room next to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, I think there are, is, I mentioned Jones, but I think there is a scenario where they keep Jones and maybe try to do something with McKinnon. I think it's more likely the other way around, but I just think there's only two running backs they're definitely keeping at this stage, and it's Clyde and it's Isaiah.
Just in from Twitter, on I guess his Twitter account, Roquan Smith of the Bears, all-pro linebacker, has requested a trade. Is that something that the Chiefs could potentially be interested in? Obviously, there's a connection there with their GM being here before and whatnot. Is that a position of need, or is it a position that you make become a need because this guy's an all-pro and now is technically available?
Well, I mean, we'll see. I know they're rebuilding in Chicago, and we have a connection from Kansas City to Chicago with Ryan Poles being the GM there. So I'm sure there's always going to be a conversation. I really think the linebacker core for Kansas City is sneaky strong. I mean, I think Willie Gay and Nick Bolton, you know, especially when you consider the new base is now the nickel in a sense with only two linebackers on the field. I mean, when you talk about the two linebackers that you need, I mean, these guys may play themselves into being a top five unit. And then behind them, you have Elijah Lee and Darius Harris, Jermaine Carter, Leo Chanel, the rookie who just talks about violence and physicality. And all he wants to do is hit somebody. So, you know, Kansas City's going to love him as well. I don't think it's a pressing need necessarily, but I think a call will happen, right? Because Beach and Poles have a relationship. Why not? We'll see if A, Chicago wants to trade him, because sometimes players want these trades and they don't happen. And B, if there's a fit, if there's a move to be made. That's the one thing about Brett Veach. I think at the beginning of his GM tenure, it was just straight up aggression, and now it's a little bit smarter, cautious aggression. So they're not afraid to make a move, but it's got to make sense.
Maybe they'll want Ronald Jones, Bob. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Ronald Jones for Roquan Smith.
I'd do that trade right now, and I throw in Josh Gordon.
Yeah, there you go. Sure.
And
sure.
Hochaver.
Sure, absolutely.
And Matt Castle.
Hopefully this interview was unavailable in Chicago so that they can make that.
There you go. Pete, thanks for the time. Enjoy. Let's see. Today's Tuesday. So Tuesday, Thursday. Two more days of camp this week. Is that right?
That's right. Two more days of camp and then off to Chicago.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pete.
All right.
Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, our 610 Sports Radio Chiefs insider, joining us. And yes, Roquan Smith, the linebacker with the Bears, has now requested a trade.
I like the last paragraph of his letter, Josh.
Yes, he penned a letter as well, which means you're serious.
Yeah, it is serious. Nice letter. Two-pager. Last paragraph, or second, I guess second to last paragraph. I haven't had the chance to talk to the McCaskey family yet. Maybe they can salvage this, but as of right now, I don't see a path back to the organization I truly love.
I
haven't talked to the boss yet, but I want out.
You know, I do. It's called money. I do see a path, actually, Roquan.
Actually, yes.
I think I see
how's a new contract sound to you, sir?
A definitive path. He's a little pricey. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they need to be in pricey linebacker.
But it's coming from Chiefs fans. Should we get Roquan Smith? Should he come to Kansas City? And if you got a chance to upgrade it, I don't know what the price is going to be for a guy like that. But I think Pete's right, too. The linebacker position is sneaky good on this team.
I saw one of the NFL guys say he's due in the $17, $18 million.
Yeah, that's a lot. They got Willie Gay. They got Nick Bolton. This Elijah Lee, man, I tell you what, you rolled your eyes when it first, started to kind of pop a little bit, if they do go with three linebackers, that is. But he's impressed a lot of people up there at camp as well. Local kid and has a chance to be in the starting lineup. He's listed on the depth chart as one of your starting linebackers right now. So maybe that's not a position that you go out. I still think cornerback is the number one position that you have to probably go out and target right now.
If Fenton can't be ready.
Yeah. Right. And well, I mean, he's on the PUP list right now.
Right. I'm just saying for opening day.
But that's still, I mean, that's coming
fast. Close. I know,
it's
really close.
What was the term Pete used? It's getting late quick, early fast?
Very late quick. Uh-oh, another wide receiver doesn't pick Tyreek. Next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Your home for car audio since 1967. Royals insider Josh Vernier joins the show every Monday at 8:30. On your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Right now, the Bears serenading Roquan Smith with Josh dancing in the background. You'd have been good on Broadway with that.
I was background dancing that time.
That was definitely background dancing.
For Olivia.
Your kids would be proud. I'm embarrassed
for them. I can't stop laughing at this Roquan Smith tweet.
It's ridiculous.
So good. Yeah. Wanting blah, blah, blah. I haven't had the chance to talk to the McCaskey family.
Yeah.
Maybe they can salvage this.
Maybe.
But as of right now, I don't see a path back to the organization I truly love.
How does a 5-year contract sign worth $50 million in guaranteed money? Okay,
yeah,
I'm in.
I see an easy path.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not they're the ones that give it to you, I don't know. But don't pretend like your door is closed.
When are people going to realize the McCaskey family is a dumpster fire of ownership in Chicago? I'm reading all the Chicago people tweets this morning that I follow up there. And like this time last year, they're blaming Matt Nagy. The year before that, they were blaming Ryan Pace. Now they're blaming the front office again. That organization will not be successful until the McCaskey family is no longer in charge of running the organization. I've said it numerous times. Organizations are bad because ownership is bad. They stink from the head down. And you can only operate and do what you can under bad ownership. And it looks like, again, here we sit with the Bears and the same Chicago people that have been complaining about every regime since 1985 are on here complaining about this regime. When will people in Chicago wake up and realize just because George Halas's daughter is part of it doesn't make it a good family to own an NFL team that's doing the right things and what's in the best interest of that city and in the best interest of that franchise? That thing is a colossal dumpster fire in Chicago, and until the McCaskey family, A, changes the way that they run their business, or B, sells the team, the Chicago Bears will be perennially that team that everybody wonders, why can't they win? Well, because ownership is ass.
I'm a kid from Macon County. I love that, too.
That's a good one, too. Yeah. You see it all. No matter where you're from, you're just
Kid from Macon County, Georgia.
I'm just a kid from Wharton, New Jersey.
What he was.
You're just a kid from Dubuque, Iowa.
Yeah.
Second most famous person from Dubuque behind Ross Ruby.
Hot dog.
Russ Ruby.
Yes. Russ Ruby.
I dreamed of playing like Wilbur Marshall, Singletary, Briggs, Urlacher, and Butkus.
You didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't.
You don't think Macon County, Georgia,
dreamed
of being a Bears linebacker?
I don't think any kid dreams of being a Dick Butkus clone in the 2020s.
No.
Right?
No. Dick Butkus walking in there goes, Google me.
Yeah, what Dick Butkus. Now, if you get there and you start to learn the history of the Bears, you say, oh, okay, they've had some really good
maybe
linebackers.
Maybe Urlacher. He might know Urlacher.
Well, hair or no hair, though. That's the thing.
Well, he knew him without hair.
Without hair, yeah.
Now he sees him like, what's that in your head?
Right, and then he went and did that Monday Night Football for like half a season, then became a Raider tight end.
Something like that.
It's a good song.
Oh, the Chicago people are just dissecting this.
Oh, I know. It's great.
Two-page letter.
There's nothing to dissect. Ownership sucks. And until they get better, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Next topic.
Yeah.
We're blessed. I mean, Clark Hunt came in, took over this organization, realized things were not going in the right direction. They changed the way that they did business. They got rid of people, brought in Andy Reid, and here we sit.
It's
all up to ownership. It's not a secret, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.